Romans chapter 1, I'm going to start reading in verse number 18. Romans chapter 1 and verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath shewed it unto them. For the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. In other words, creation screams Creator. Period. It screams it. It's completely denying the obvious when you look at creation and say that there is no God. There is no excuse for that whatsoever. But it continues. You notice the punctuation that's there. Because that, when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who was blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them unto vile affections. For even women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we certainly do love You, and we know that we need You. Lord, we ask for Your blessing upon the service tonight, Lord, that You would give us understanding. Lord, help us to see the truth that is here in Romans chapter 1 and how we should respond to it. Lord, please bless. I pray that You would use this to draw us closer to You. Lord, if there is anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, Lord, we certainly do pray for their salvation. Please bless and work. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Again, this past week has been actually three shootings that have taken place. The first one, which I wasn't even aware of, to be honest, until this afternoon, was in California, where three people were killed. And then, of course, just in the past 24, 48 hours, we've had a couple of major shootings for our nation. The one in El Paso, Texas, which was killing at least 20. I don't know if any more have died since that initial report, but I know 20 were said to have been killed, with 26 injured at that Walmart. And then the Dayton shooting with 9 killed, and that could have been a whole lot worse. When I read even this afternoon trying to read up on it, I guess he was dead within 30 seconds, the shooter, of when he started shooting. It only took 30 seconds until they had him down. And he had already killed 9 people. We think back to February 2018. We had that shooting in that Florida school near the Miami area with 17 students killed. Then, of course, there was the Vegas shooting, with 520 wounded and 58 were killed. And that was where he was up in the hotel shooting down in the crowd of a little 20,000 plus that were down there for a concert. At the time, That was the law, and still is actually, that is the largest of this type of shooting in our nation. Now, there were others killed through guns and whatnot going back into the early 20th century, but that was a different setting. There was actual different wars. I'm using the word wars, groups of people fighting against each other, and that was during a short time frame. More than that would have been killed. But as far as what we're looking at with this type of scenario, it was the largest in our nation's history. And that record, of course, up until that time, was broken every year for the most part. The previous deadly mass shooting prior to that would have been the Pulse nightclub. You remember that one in Orlando in 2016, the year prior. 49 were killed there. Virginia Tech in 2007, 32 were killed. Sandy Hook, 2012, 26 were killed. Texas Restaurant, 1991, 22 were killed. San Bernardino, 2015, 14 were killed. Fort Hood, 2009, 13 were killed. Seven, and there's many, actually, 12 and 13 going on and on. There's several more we could list in that same area. Of course, we'd have to now include, bump up the one that just happened in El Paso. It's now going to fit right into all of those. But if you notice something, there's a common denominator with all of those shootings, with all the highest amounts. They're all in recent history. All of them. All of them within the last several years, with the exception of one. The one that's not really within the last several years was the one in 1991. So there's only one exception in there that would take us back more than 10 years or so. That's it. All the rest are in recent times. So something is taking place. There is something that has happened in recent times that has changed. We have to figure out what has changed. We need to take a close look at what has taken place then in the last decade, the last 15 years in our culture that is now allowing this to happen. Of course, as we've already seen, and it gets so aggravating how politicized these murders come. I mean, immediately the politicians are all out blaming each other, impeach Trump. It's just insane. You can see really they can care less about those who are dead. It's just want to use something for political purposes. So the left comes out and says the guns are the problem. The NRA is to blame. And again, it calls this gun violence. It's a ridiculous name for it any more than I brought this up a couple years ago. That's just like saying in 9/11 would have been airplane violence. When the planes hit that. It wasn't airplane violence. The fact is, guns are not new. There has not been a rise in the amount of gun ownership. All right? The weapons have changed, but just like with what was used, listen, whether you're shot with a .22 or a .40 caliber, you're still dead. It still kills you. And by the way, some of those, if you get shot with a muzzle loader, that hurts pretty good. Nice 50 caliber round coming at you. But the fact is, in researching this message, which would have been a couple of years ago, I decided to say, okay, when was a mass increase in guns in our nation? That would have been the 17th and 18th century when that was taking off and guns were becoming common in every home. And again, so it's nothing new. The fact is, of people owning guns is nothing new within our nation. So the problem then is not because people own guns. That's been in place since the 16th and 17th century in our nation. That's not the problem then. If guns had just been introduced around 2000 and 2005, maybe they have something. But that's not the case. So, let's look at another question. What other problems has our nation had in the exact same time frame? Many things come to mind. We have not just seen a rise in shootings in the exact same time frame. We've seen a rise in overall violence. A rise in unrest has taken place. We see what happens between, even within our own nation, nation against nation, black against white, that rivalry kicking up again, the hatred against police, the violence that's there. I mean, violence even used as a game in some cases, of running around and seeing how hard you can hit somebody out of the blue. It's nothing now for people to turn to violence immediately. Domestic disputes turn violent, turn into murder. There's a hatred that has risen. There's a hatred towards Christianity, a hatred towards God, a hatred towards each other. selfishness is on the rise. Another thing that has changed is suicide rates. Suicide rates have skyrocketed. In the 80s and 90s, it was said there's actually all the research points to a slight decline in suicide rates. But in the same time frame, we're seeing the gun violence, suicide rates have skyrocketed. This is from a particular website, a medical website, that one of the doctors on there, he gives the rate. He didn't support it all. That's why I say it with caution, although he certainly seemed credible. It was the KevinMD.com, a lot of medical doctors. He said that suicide rates over this time frame have exploded up 125% from about 20 years ago. There's certainly even amount of different from growing up in the 80s and 90s. There's almost an element of fear within a culture that's usually unprecedented unless there's a war taking place. There's a nervousness. There's anxiety. We see rebellion like never before. I mean, did you see just simply those videos the other day, that couple that walked out by the trash can and got beat half to death right there by a group of teenagers? I don't know if you saw that. About last week or week before. Husband and wife walked out there and literally got beat half to death right there in their own driveway by kids they don't even know. Again, the rebellion's on the rise. The disconnect between parents and children is in place. We see a lot of other things where our culture has changed in this exact same time frame. So it's not just mass shootings. We're seeing problems in our culture and society across the board. The problem is not guns. So we need to figure out what is happening. Because something is happening. For just to deny and say it's not guns and move on, you're still ignoring a reality within our culture. You know, just like with these shootings right here, people are going to search for different motives to try and figure out why. And they already throw motives out initially within minutes of the shooting. They already knew the motives. They're guessing at them. And people want that. They want to try and figure out, why does this happen? Why would somebody go into an elementary school? Why would somebody head into that Walmart? What's going on? What's the motive behind it? You have to understand, the point we're at now, evil is its own motive. And if you find one, it doesn't match. You understand that? It doesn't match. In other words, say somebody, you know, made them really mad at Walmart. Does that match going in with a gun and shooting? Of course not. You're not going to find a motive. Evil at this level has it's its own motive. And we can see the level of decadence and how sin within our culture, it has dropped to new levels. Things we never seen before. Before, you might have seen a husband leaving a wife for another woman. That still takes place. But nowadays, it's just as common to see the wife leave the husband for another woman. The level of decadence has dropped. Something has taken place. So something else is leading to these horrible, the wickedness, the murderous actions. Something is going on in our culture that is allowing evil of this magnitude to be commonplace, which was not present in the past. And Romans chapter 1 answers that question as to what's taking place. So first thing I'm going to look at, I'm going to break this out in about 3 points right now. We're going to look at number one, why we are seeing such a rise in wickedness. Why this new level of vileness is taking place. So, let's dive into this in Romans chapter 1. Now first off, I want you to notice something. I'm going to point something out very quickly here. You might want to mark these in your Bible. I want to point out 3 different things that is brought up in Romans chapter 1 very quickly. This is going to be the foundation for the entire message. Then we're going to go through them. First off, look at verse 24. Notice it says, "Wherefore God also gave them up." I have that underlined in my Bible. Verse 26, same thing. Notice, it happens again. For this cause, God gave them up. A third time, verse number 28. It says, same points made, God gave them over. Exact same point as those two. So we have that exact same statement thought given three times here in Romans chapter 1. What we are seeing take place, and that is the answer, and I'm going to make the case for it with the rest of this message. What we are seeing take place is exactly what those words are telling us, that God has given us over. He's no longer intervening. He has given us, as our culture, over to our own selves. It's gotten to a point where it's like this. He said, listen, if you want to continue to deny me as a culture, you want to continue to trust in your humanism and yourself and pretend I don't exist, I will turn you over. I will withhold my hand and I will simply turn you over to your own heart. And you'll see how you will fare. Look over in Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Really sad statement here. We could start back in verse. This is with Samson and Delilah right here. And he finally has told Delilah about his strength from God and the tie-in with his hair and whatnot. And so, anyhow, verse 19 says, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and he caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now get this. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as other times before and shake myself. Now get this. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. When I was memorizing verses through each book in the Bible, this had been back early 90s, this was the verse that I chose for the book of Judges, was this one right here. Just because of how sad it is and the frightening truth of it. Here's Samson, his strength is completely gone and he doesn't have a clue. He wakes up, he's there, and he says, I'm going to go out as I did other times before, I've got this. But he wist not that the Lord had departed from him. That's what happened to us. Not even realizing it, God has withheld His hand of protection, His intervention. Remember, we went through the book of Hosea. Turn over to the book of Hosea. In other words, I'm showing you at different times, in different portions, from individual levels, even to a cultural level, where the same thing has taken place in history. We're not the first culture that the Lord has done this to. Hosea chapter 2. Verse 6, therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her paths. And she shall follow after her lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She shall not seek them, but shall not find them. And she shall say, I will go and return to my first husband. And it goes on from there. What God was telling Hosea, he says, live with your wife Gomer. Again, his life was the living illustration. The Lord told him to marry a woman that was not going to be faithful. He knew it. He obeyed God. God was using his life as this illustration. But he was telling him here, listen, here's what I am going to do with Gomer, though, at this time frame in chapter 2. I'm going to put these roadblocks in her way. I'm going to hedge about her way that she cannot do all that her heart is intending. The Lord does that in cultures. He puts roadblocks in place. What we're seeing happening here in the last decade or more in our own nation is simply God removing the roadblocks. The times where His hand was in place. It's now where He's saying, listen, I am giving you over. That's what's happening. That's why the rise in violence. That's why the rise in wickedness. Is the fact is our culture and men are being turned over to their own wicked heart. Look at Hosea chapter 4. Turn over just a couple of chapters. Again, his life was a picture of the nation. Now God addresses it at a national level in from chapter 4 on. Here's an incredibly sad statement right here. Hosea chapter 4. Ephraim is, of course, another name for Israel. Hosea chapter 4, verse 17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Now look at the conclusion of that right there after that colon. Let him alone. One thing you never want God to do to you is to let you alone. That's something that I'll plead with God. Please, don't leave me alone. Don't turn me over to my own self. Please still continue your grace, continue your mercy, continue. Don't turn me over to my own. Don't get to that place in your life where God says, I'm done. I'm leaving you alone. This is the direction you want. It's yours. We want those roadblocks in place. We are seeing the results of the depravity of man's own wicked heart without God's restraining influence. Our problem is not a gun problem. Our problem is not a race problem. Our problem is not a drug issue. Our problem is a heart issue. We are seeing the results of mankind in our culture being left to himself apart from God's restraining hand. You can see the craziness of our culture. I saw another news clip just yesterday or the day before. Something about the headline had caught my attention. And at first I thought it would be funny to look at it. It was some young American socialist Democrat meeting, their annual meeting. And I turned this thing on, and it was funny at first. Then I thought, how pathetic and sad what I'm looking at right now. It was, I don't know what there's, you know, there's a moderator after this first guy gets up there and he says that he has sensory overload and there's just too much talking here. And if you guys could just be quiet, I'd be all right. And so it's kind of humorous. But I thought, what kind of a really sissy? I mean, really? You have sensory overload? Could you please hush? But then the next guy gets up. He's all offended at the first guy that just spoke. I mean, all offended. He gets up there. Can we please stop using gender terms? Because the guy just said, could you guys be quiet? And I'm like, are you kidding me? It's absurd. And these are the youth, the up and coming, the college and career age of our generation, up and coming. I have sensory overload. Could you stop, all you guys? Don't say the word guys. We don't use gender here. And that's where our culture is right now. They're being turned over to their own foolishness. God says, you want your own heart? Listen, I'm withstanding my understanding. I'm withholding my understanding. I'm withholding my wisdom, withholding my knowledge. Look where that's going to get you. Our problem is a culture where God has turned us over to our own selves. He has lifted the roadblocks that were in place. I mean, you look at the response right now. You can see that even the hatred towards God in this. I remember when I was doing this with the Vegas, and it's still been true here. I just couldn't find a specific example I was looking for it. But I remember the one guy that I knew he was a Christian. He was outspoken. He was an athlete. Anyhow, after one of the shootings, almost positive it was the Vegas one, he had just tweeted out something about we need to get back to the Lord Jesus Christ and things like that. Well, he got blasted. I mean, just the hatred came flying. Where was God in this? And I'm going to answer that question, by the way. I'm going to finish the message up with looking at that. Where is God in all this? And he's just being blasted for it. Now, that's not going to provide any solutions. Just insane. All those who claim they can care less about the Creator don't believe in him. They certainly have enough hatred for him. So now, what evidence do I have that this is taking place? Romans chapter 1 makes that case, and that's what we're going to see. We're going to see the process that's leading up to God turning men over to themselves. Now, here's the process. When we go back to Romans chapter 1, turn back to Romans chapter 1. The first 6-7 verses here, they show what takes place before God turns a culture over to themselves. So 18 through 24, what we're going to see here leading up to 24, is the rejection of God in a culture. Let's start in verse 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. So first, do we qualify? Was there a time that we had truth? Oh, absolutely. We were a nation that had truth, but it certainly was held in unrighteousness. Here's how it continues with that thought. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. There's a knowledge of God. There's a measure of truth that is there of a creator. And that's what he addresses in verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, creation, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. He says, Lord saying here, number one, through creation itself, it screams to you, there is a creator. And he's powerful, and he's strong, and he's mighty. That's clear. I mean, just as the Bible proclaims, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. To actually believe nothing created this is so absurd. But there's been a denial of that. We don't want God in our schools. We're not going to address that. We're not going to go there. It's foolishness. It's obvious there's a creator. But look what it says in 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. In other words, at the time when they knew God, a choice came in where they were no longer glorifying him as God. In other words, they weren't going to allow God to be God in their own lives. Even with the knowledge that is present and all that we're seeing, we're not going to glorify him as God. We're not going to lift that up. We're not going to serve him as God. Because when they had the knowledge of God, they chose to abandon him. To say, no, we don't want this. They did not let God be God. And we see how that progressed. Neither were thankful. Unthankfulness is such a huge indicator of major problems. Huge. It's a major flag in your own life, in a culture. I mean, and you think about our culture today, the unthankfulness that is present. It's the you owe me culture. This is mine. I deserve it. And God said, listen, that's the mark. You're leading to this. You're choosing to deny me. Next up, you're going to have this unthankfulness that's going to take place. This is all leading to God saying, I'm done. But became vain in their imaginations. And their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Well, this is exactly what's taking place. Their thoughts have went from truth to vanity. Their foolish heart was darkened. We're seeing the results right now of darkened hearts. They thought they were wise, just like right now. Right now, at times it just makes me want to laugh. I remember seeing it was a CNN or Fox interview with somebody who was head of the Department of Education several years ago. And they brought up the issue of bringing up a creator in school. And I still remember that mocking laugh she had. And she was like in the nation's top position for education or whatever it was. And how absurd she thought that was to bring that in. And I'm thinking, and that verse came to mind, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. I mean, the idea of nothing, absolutely nothing in existence, boom, and you have all this. Crazy. They thought they were wise in turning from God, but in reality they were fools. They were fools. So this is what we're leading up to. We get to verse 24 now. We get to the first evidence of being turned over. Watch what happens here. Wherefore, God's saying, when this is in place, here's what's coming. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. See, all right, here's the first revolution that's going to take place. And that's a sexual revolution. We saw that in our culture take place. We saw it in the late 50s, 60s, and 70s. Our culture witnessed a sexual revolution take place, where all of a sudden the uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. As a result of this, God says, all right, here's the first thing. I will turn you over to this. A sexual revolution. And of course, we've seen this taking place over the last several decades, really since the 1960s, as I said. People wanting to be free from the morals regarding sexual activity. Free love, as it was in the 60s. No restrictions, no guilt. People began to believe the lie that the devil began to set in place by the 1920s, gaining more steam by the 1950s, and in place in the 1960s, that there are no absolutes. That you create your own right and wrong. When that was in place, the foundation was set. Because without, and once you get people to doubt God, then there's no absolutes. I mean, if there is a God, you have absolutes. There's no way around that. And so morality, now instead of absolute, became relative. It became what the culture determined what was morally right and wrong. It was men wanting that right. Just like God said, I'm turning you over to your own selves with this. Sure, I'm going to withhold this. Watch what happens. You determine it now. Go ahead and make it relative. Again, the idea of absolutes were gone. A sexual revolution began to take place. Watch what happens next. See if this is not exactly what's happened in our own country. Verse 26 now. For this cause, here's the second time God gives them up now. What's next? For this cause, God gave them up unto, the first was this, the sexual revolution, now it's worse, unto vile affections. For even the women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. The next revolution that takes place is a homosexual revolution. Now God gives you up. There's no repentance. It's not in place. The culture is getting farther from God. He says, now your heart's going to be darkened even more. It's not just going to be sexual immorality within the culture. Now, I'm turning you over to your own selves to work that which is unseemly. Men with men, women with women. And right now, that's a cultural norm. Right now, as I understand it, preaching that that is sin, exactly as Romans 1 presents it. That's being turned over to vile affection. It's somehow considered hate speech in our nation. When it's simply truth. But you've had a nation that's turned from God. That's decided we don't need to worship the Creator. We can just worship the creation. Again, we've seen the homosexual revolution take place just within the last decade. I mean, you could see 20 years ago, what we're seeing take place was not a norm. I mean, this week, I didn't even read it. I just caught the story. I don't know which one it was on. It was on a Christian site that there was, you know how people get engaged at baseball games and big events and stuff and surprise. Well, they had this with a man asking another man to marry him. Would you have seen that 20 years ago? Oh, no. No, you would not have seen that. Something has changed. It's been that way for thousands of years within our own country of America since the start of it. So the 200-300 years just dealing with our own nation here. Something's changed where that's taking place. We're not the only one in culture. We see the same things in Rome. There's other world cultures we see following the same progression. The fact of the homosexual revolution and the sexual revolution that's taking place is evidence that God has given us up, turned us over to our own hearts. But there's a third one. Verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, here it is again, the third time, God gave them over now to what? To a reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Now here they come. Being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. It goes on to the list of what begins to take place in the culture of the level of violence, how just across the board, pretty much you name it, it begins to come commonplace. As we went through that list, you see it all. Just this week, there was a story I read of a mother. I think it happened a while ago. I think she's just in court for it now. Is found guilty or something. I don't know. But she killed their own mother killed her two little girls. Two little girls. I think they were like 3 and 2 years old. Very young. She killed them. Because they were interfering with her sexual activity. So she killed her own daughters. Something has happened. I mean, again, the violence is just everywhere. Those that are about greed, the pride that we see, the boasting that we see, the inventor of evil things, the disobedient to parents without understanding. All of it. I mean, you'd have to be ignorant to read this and not see what's happened to us in the last 10 to 15 years. And the Bible says that comes as a result of God saying, I am turning you over. I'm removing roadblocks. We are seeing what happens when God says, leave them alone. You don't want me? I'm going to watch what happens with your own wicked heart. It's not God causing it to happen. No, He's just saying, listen, I restrain the wickedness that's in you. I'm just taking my hand off of it now. I'm turning you over to yourself. You want to trust in humanism? Here's what it looks like. So the question then is this. Where is God in all of this? Well, obviously, I've just made the case exactly what's going on with the Lord. But I want to put it in a way that when you are talking with others, that you can make a reasonable argument to try and tie into the gospel. Again, so the questions come, where is God in all of this? You see it in the haters. You see it out there. You see people honestly asking the question, though, as well. Where is God in all of this? Why does the Creator allow evil to take place? First, again, understand, we just looked at the primary reason of what's taking place. It's not God causing the evil. It's Him turning a culture over to itself. In one that through a great long suffering and great mercy and great endurance and pleading, it just gets to a point and says, I'm turning you over. God is not pleased with evil. He desires for men to repent and to turn to Him. See, what happens is this. So often, even in our own lives as Christians, we blame God for things He's never promised out of ignorance. We question Him because of His power and His sovereignty. There's not a time in here that God promises that whenever evil is getting ready to occur, I will intervene. And there's reason for it. The fact is, in the Garden of Eden, this earth went into a curse. Sin had occurred. Sin does lead to suffering. Sin does lead to death. sin destroys. It kills. You cannot change that any more than you can change gravity. God has been intervening. He has been showing mercy. He has been showing long-suffering within our culture in a great way. We still have His Word. We still have His law. We still have His Spirit. We still have, of course, the amazing sacrifice of God Himself on the cross. You know why He did all that? To deliver us from the bondage that sin produces. He provides a way to provide comfort during sufferings. And the fact is, one day God Almighty absolutely will set everything in order. We're right there in the book of Revelation. When He returns, evil's actions on this earth are over with. They're done. In finality, it's over with. Again, and the great thing about this is what we see in getting in the conclusion of Romans chapter 5 into Romans chapter 6. Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And that is true. We see God's, even His desire in cultures like this. Look over to Acts chapter 14. Acts chapter 14, I'm almost done. I should have looked at the time a little bit ago. I usually look at the time all the time. I did not today. I would have tried to end it a little bit earlier. Let me finish this up right now. Let me try and come through this. I'm going to cover these things very quickly, so please stay with me. I don't want you to miss any of this. All right, but I am going to cover it quickly for time's sake right now. Acts chapter 14 and verse 14. Which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities." This is a wicked culture away from God. They're beginning to hear truth. They don't quite understand. They fall down basically almost thinking Paul is a god here. He says, "No, you're not understanding." He says, "We are also men of like passions. We're just like you. We're no different than these men of this vile culture, and preached unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God." This is the answer. "Which made heaven and earth and the sea," the Creator, "and all things that are therein." He's going back even to Romans 1. He's saying, listen, what you have to turn to is the Creator who made everything. And get this. "Who in times past suffered all nations to walk," what does it say? "In their own ways." Verse 17, "Nevertheless, He left not Himself without a witness, in that He did good and gave us rain from heaven." We're still seeing it, aren't we? We're still seeing that level of mercy and grace that we have right now. Even though I said, listen, even though the nations, I'm letting you go your own way, we're still seeing the sun come up. We're still seeing the rain. Gardens are still producing food. "And gave us from heaven a fruitful season, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Just really is incredible. He suffered the nations because of their sin to walk in their own ways. But the fact is, God still cared. He still showed mercy. He still provided the provision, and He still is. And the ultimate provision, why all that's still in place, is for the possibility of men to hear the gospel. Because our response in what we're seeing is simply what we see. And we're not going to turn there for time's sake, but follow me. Please don't miss this. Matthew chapter 5. We are to be the salt and the light in this culture. That deals with what we speak and how we live. How we live is the salt, and what we speak is the light. The gospel. We are to be a light in this dark world. We are not to get this attitude. Please avoid this, because many times we get there. We determine who could be saved and who can't be saved. Think if you're growing up in this culture and you've never even been to church once. Your only view of a Christian is what you see on a stupid television. You watch Benny Hinn and you're like, oh my goodness, are you kidding me? The only view is how they portray a Christian in a sitcom. And so sometimes our hearts grow hardened at the wickedness of our culture. We should hate and despise the wickedness that's coming. Think of this. The disciples are They're all around Jesus Christ, John chapter 9. They've been fellowship with him. By John chapter 9, he's 2 years into his ministry. And they come across a blind man. The whole chapter deals with a blind man in John chapter 9. It's just a great, great, great story. I love preaching on that. And so they come up on him. And not a one of them says, Lord, can you help him? They don't. Do you remember what they ask Christ when they see the blind man? Who did sin? This man or his mom and dad? And the Lord really responds like, what? Are you kidding me? That's the question you want to know? But we can get there. We can get there with a hardness and just say, you know what? Let's just let them all go to hell then. Let's just forget about it. No. You have the answer. God's merciful hand is still in place, even with what's taking place. He still commands all men to repent everywhere. And it's still true. He's not willing that any should perish. And remember, Romans chapter 1 does give the answer, doesn't it? Go back up to verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The answer is in the gospel. Let's not be like those we need to remember, think of Romans chapter 13 when it was those first few verses when those towers fell and all those lions were killed. And Christ reminded them, you're not some type of better sinner than they are. We are all sinners saved by grace. If we get into a prideful approach to our culture, we will never be effective. The humbleness has to be in place. The fact is, again, we need to be a light in this dark world. We need to understand we have the answer in the gospel itself. So when you're out in the workplace, when you're out meeting others, be ready to give the gospel out effectively. And listen, that is more than running through Romans 3:10, 3:23, 5:12, 6:23, Romans 10, 9:10, pray this prayer. It's more than that. It's not about manipulating to get somebody to say a few words. It's letting them see they are going to be judged of an almighty God. They will be guilty. They will spend eternity in hell. And the only way out of it is Jesus Christ and what He did. It's also us praying. It's also us staying strong in the faith in the midst of dark times. That's our response. That's what we do. We do have the answer. Now's the time when it talks about that in the book of Romans. Or where am I at there? Let every man give an answer of the hope that is within you. Where am I at? Give me the reference for that, somebody. Sadie? Is that 1 Peter 3 right there, verse 15 or something like that, I believe? 1 Peter 3:15? That's why he's my assistant. He can finish all the verses for me. We'll put you a little pulpit up here, too, and you can just finish all the verses. I'll just go to you with that. I've seen a preacher that does that, actually. It was really kind of funny. His assistant's right next to him. He has the Bible, and he just tells him, go to that verse. He goes to that verse. We'll try that next Sunday. We will not. I'm just kidding. But you have to be ready to give an answer. People should see something different in your life. And by the way, because of that, you better believe the devil's going to throw all kinds of stuff at you at work and at home so that light is dimmed. So that it's dimmed. We have the answer for our culture. We're seeing a rise in great wickedness, but there is hope. That gospel still changes lives.
still does. The power in it hasn't been diminished one bit by God removing roadblocks. It's still there. With heads bowed and eyes closed.